I remember one time living in upstate New York, going on a backpacking trip with a friend of mine, James Story, from Texas. We both had moved out there to work for GE, and the route we were going to take was up this kind of this cliff ravine kind of area. It was like there'd been a kind of a big mountain that had a huge kind of gash down the middle of it, and you could kind of hike up one side or the other. And so we shot out after work on Friday to kind of start going up that. But we weren't going to get to the top of the mountain by the end of that day. So instead, you know, we had to kind of camp partway up that steep ravine with the cliff. And I remember we kind of started to set up our camp, and one thing I had to do was like get our food bag up in the tree and, you know, throw a rope over and tie the bag, and, you know, started to pull the rope up and kind of stepping back from the tree to get the bag up, stepping back a bit more, and suddenly stepping right off the cliff backwards. And I grabbed the edge, you know, just, you know, held on. It was so shocking, suddenly just to step into nothing and grab the edge of this. And some kind of exclamation was uttered. And my friend James, you know, came running over, you know, and thankfully he's this big boy from Houston, Texas, you know, reach out his hand, you know, he could kind of grab forearms and he could help haul me up, you know, from the edge of the cliff. And, you know, he pulls me up and I'm just still shocked, and he just starts laughing at me. And I get angry, like, dude, you know, why are you laughing at me? And he says, look, and I look, and right under where I was, there's another whole like 10, 12 foot shoulder before the cliff. But it was just high enough that my feet were dangling as I was hanging there. So, you know, I wasn't in the mortal peril I had thought. But what I remember so clearly, when I thought I was, James Story just thrusting his hand out, this big Texas dude, and just helping to grab me and to pull me out of this danger, you know, as I'm kind of grabbing and trying to pull myself up. That's an image I want us to keep. And it's an image, I think, that is a good one for really understanding salvation. As I contemplated the gospel reading of the raising of Lazarus, what struck me in this was the personal, the relational dimensions of the resurrection. That Jesus is, yes, Savior of the world, but He is my Savior. He is your Savior. Eternal life is not just some kind of automatic process, you know, like a caterpillar that simply emerges from a cocoon as a butterfly out of some biological resources it carries within itself. It just kind of happens and happens naturally. That's not the nature of salvation and resurrection. Eternal life and resurrection, that's something done for us by God through a relationship that He offers and then we are invited to accept. That hand of salvation is thrust out to us. Here are some passages that made me think about that. From the first reading where the Lord says, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. I will open your graves. This personal agency. Or then as Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Not that there is a resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. You know, or at the end, now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done, Jesus raising Lazarus, they began to believe, not that, oh, there's some raising of the dead. No, it says they began to believe in him, in Jesus. And then I think most powerfully, Jesus calling by name, Lazarus, come out. This calling that Jesus makes to his friend. What can sustain us when biological death has overcome us? When all of our resources, the resources of the world, no longer can keep us alive. What really sustains us at that point? It's the Lord who knows us and loves us. St. Paul, in our second reading, he expresses this reliance upon the Lord in the end that we all must face. You know, that there's this reliance upon him rather than a futile autonomy, which kind of in Bible terminology talks about, as St. Paul says, living according to the flesh or the spirit. Now, when he says flesh, he doesn't just simply mean the body. What he means is an existence just focused on this life alone and focused on an existence apart from God, rather than in the spirit, which is an existence open to God in this life and then in communion with him in the life to come. So St. Paul says, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. And the Spirit of God, again, it's a personal reality. He's not just somewhere out there, you know, another nebula. He dwells within us personally. In biblical terms, if you want to think about it again, imagery, the creating hand of God. The hand that touched the clay of Adam to form him is also the hand that reaches out to us when we return to clay. And it is a hand now with a nail hole in it, showing how much God has personally endured out of love for us. You know, will we grasp that hand? Ultimately, our hope is based on a relationship that God offers us. It comes from him. It starts with him. It leads us back to him. You know, and that is why I always like to repeat one of my favorite quotes from Pope Benedict, where he says this about what does it mean to be a Christian? He says, being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and decisive direction. Christianity is this encounter with a person, the person of Jesus Christ, which gives our life a new horizon and a decisive direction, a direction away from oblivion. And so relationship and life, they come together in Christ. That's what Jesus said about the Father and about himself. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. True life is to know God and to know Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. And so our whole life then, in knowing God, our whole life as Christians, our moral life is, I think, best seen in the end, not simply as am I following these rules or not, checking off these boxes or not, but seeing it as a growing friendship with God, you know, of choosing him, and in choosing him to become more like him and to live his life. So how do I build that relationship, that growing friendship? You know, maybe for some people, it's like, you know, I've never felt that personal reality of relationship with God. You know, I've always seen it more as simply an ethic to live by, kind of a set of do's and don'ts, you know, and if I play by the rules, I get the prize, you know, and that's such an impoverished idea of Christianity. But instead, to know Jesus Christ, and maybe even more importantly, to know that I'm known by Jesus Christ. You know, how can I do that? How can I grow in that? At least, what part can I play in that? You know, God is sovereign. Jesus is Lord, and he comes to us as he wills. You know, there's not a bell to just kind of ring or, you know, push a button, start an app, and then God's got to be there. He's got a choice, but how do I dispose myself to that certain reality that God does want to approach me? Jesus does want me to know him. Here's a few ideas. This is one, the obvious one is prayer, but I would say especially prayer from the heart. You know, not simply saying certain prayers, not simply reciting certain ones, not simply hearing certain ones, but and maybe even if you use those, to pray from the heart. That is to share the reality of your own heart, your own life. What are the struggles, the fears, the hopes? All of these, this reality, divulging my life to the Lord, that personal reality. I think that's when prayer rubber hits the road. And not just saying a certain rote prayer. You know, we have a treasury of prayers that we use in our church, but they're never meant to be the final reality. They're always meant to lead our hearts into relationship with God through those beautiful words. And having memorized prayers can be a beautiful thing. So many times I visit the sick, the dying, and, you know, creative expressions of extemporaneous praise and prayer are kind of beyond them. But they can still utter that Our Father, that Hail Mary, but to do it from the heart, not as some kind of totem. And so I encourage you to really, in your prayer life, and even if that's, I love this litany, well then afterwards, I'm going to give a bit of silence. I'm going to give my heart to the Lord, and in turn, in that silence, be open to Him. What does He want to say to me? I think another part of that prayer from the heart is gratitude. Is really cultivating that spirit, that virtue of thanksgiving, that aligns me again with recognizing God's goodness and where He is always at work. And then another thing for this growing in friendship relationship with God, I think, is knowing God through this incredible love letter, this incredible message that He has sent to each one of us, known as the Bible. You know, I always kind of jest, you know, people like, I've never heard God speak to me. It's like, well, He wrote you a whole book, you know? So maybe let's look at that, you know, understand. And the cool thing is, you know, reading so many parts of the Bible, and you can go back through them, and sometimes there's a striking newness in them as the Holy Spirit gives a new angle, a new understanding, helps me to perceive what the Lord is saying to me here and now. Because the words of the Bible, inspired by God, can then help mediate, bring about this encounter with Him. And then, of course, the sacraments. The sacraments, these gifts that God Himself has given us to be transformed by Him, and in that to then be able to have deeper relationship with Him. You know, there are people, you know, who say, you know, things have been a mess, you know, and because they've been watching like live stream mass for a long time, and maybe they had to because of all the things we went through. And it's, I can understand the why maybe things are hard in your relationship with God, because you've been far from the Eucharist, receiving that actual sacrament for so long. It's like the plant's withering because it's not being fed. And so I think going to the sacraments and maybe taking that next step, maybe I come to a daily mass if I can, or, you know, we started the new Saturday morning 8:30 a.m. mass. And something about daily mass is a different feel to it that I think is really powerful. Or to go into the adoration chapel. You know, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity truly present there before you. And that humble guise of the host, so that you can approach Him without fear and enter into friendship. And then maybe one other area, along with prayer from the heart, scripture, the sacraments, would be in His service. As I live and act in the service of God, whether that's, you know, to the poor, and we see in Matthew 25, you know, the pressing reality of how Christ is present in the poor, the oppressed, the imprisoned, the sick. You know, if I want to have a relationship with Him, He's given me many beautiful ways to visit Him in these people who are in dire need. Or in educating in the faith, you know, helping to bring up people in the faith, accompanying others in their own relationship with Christ. All of these are incredible ways to enter into a partnership with Jesus. You know, and to discover how He is there and at work, because I'm at His work site, you know? It's like if you wanted to find somebody during the daytime, well, where do they work? Well, you go there, right? Well, then go to where the faith is proclaimed. Go to where the poor are cared for. Go to where broken hearts are healed. You'll find Christ there. Monsignor Ken Leone, a great priest of this archdiocese. He was a mentor of mine for a summer when I was assigned to him, and I would go to different events that he would do, and visiting families and retreats, and he has a very distinctive personality, very vibrant personality. One priest, Monsignor Michael Glenn, a good friend of his, once described Monsignor Ken as one part Jesus, one part Willy Wonka, and he just had this dynamic personality. And I remember saying, Monsignor Leone, you have such a distinctive personality. It's incredible that the vibrancy of your engagement with people that's you. It's like, that seems like a really impossible thing to try to live up to as I'm contemplating this as a seminarian. And the seminarians will laugh. It's his line, and it's such a great one. And he just simply said, Matthew, when you become a priest, you'll have the best partner in the world, Jesus. Heads nodding, exactly. Because it's true. But that's not only true for priests. It's true for all the baptized who are seeking to serve the Lord and serve the ones he cares for. It's a powerful way to know Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you in your service, if you're doing that, to be reflective, to see Jesus at work, to ask, Lord, help me to reveal how you are at work and help me to be attentive to your presence here. That's something that I can say, and as God's goodness, it's happened to me 1,000 times. And so salvation is not simply some process that comes about, like some biological process. At its core is this relationship with a Savior who saves us by name, extending his hand to us, a hand with a nail hole through it that shows to what extent he goes to save us. And so I encourage all of us, when we contemplate this, to yearn for that deeper relationship with Christ that he's always offering us and in many different ways, and in a special way to our friends going through RCIA. Don't look at this process as simply something that is as informational, let alone ticking off boxes or something like that. But through these Sundays, through these rites, especially through these sacraments, it's a true encounter with Christ, and it's a liberation from sin, from never-ending death, and it's a way that you're being brought more deeply into the heart of Christ. And I hope that whatever relationship is strengthened with Christ in RCA will be for you the beginning of always the adventure of knowing Christ better, the adventure of following him, of knowing his saving hand, reaching into your lives again and again, just like he has for me and for all of us. That's the beauty of what we are given by Christ. He has accomplished this for us. He keeps reaching out to us. Will we clasp that saving hand?